Damashekin's under center. He looks over a nickel secondary right now. It's third and goal at the 7. Damashek drops back to throw. Breaks a tackle. Cuts to his right. Now cocks his arm and fires a line drive. And it's caught! Damashek with a belt-high grab underneath the crossbar. Heavily covered. And they've got the lead.
The Dave Damashek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program. Who's ready to kibitz about the game of football? Who's ready to kibitz about the game of life? Both things are on tap. I am joined in Studio 66 by my main man, seated to my immediate left, all the way from London, England. We'll play his intro song in just a little bit. It's Handsome Hank, but let me also say, how are you, Handsome?
I'm very well, thank you, Dave. We've done away with the hurry up.
Nah, we'll still do
Do it. Get rid of it. I don't like it.
You don't like the hurry up.
I like that. I like the fact we just heard the music again.
Yeah, and thanks to the great Kevin Harlan for
right
for that.
And the call as well.
That was great that he called my touchdown pass to myself. That was an exciting moment in pro football lore.
Everyone remembers where they were when that happened.
Yes, and everybody remembers when the guy on the phone with us now or on Skype with us now was drafted out of college and became a stalwart on the offensive line in pro football. Now he's our pal, one half of the authors of Eat My Schwartz, along with Mitchell Schwartz. Here he is, the newly retired Jeff Schwartz. What's the poop, fella?
Oh, I am glad to be retired. I don't miss it one bit.
First of all, mazel tov to you on a fine pro football career. Now you're residing in Charlotte, North Carolina, right?
Yes, I love it here. It's the coldest it'll ever be. It's like 40 degrees.
But you're an Angelino. Why not make the move back to SoCal?
You live in Southern California. I looked at the price of my house in Charlotte, and I looked at the equal price of my house in Brentwood, let's say, and I chose to stay here.
Yeah, but you were making offensive lineman NFL money. I am not making NFL lineman money, and yet I'm living in SoCal. Somehow it seems inverted here, Jeff Schwartz.
My heritage makes me like to save what I've earned. So,
I say, he is an author on SB Nation, and really, legitimately, I've said this many times. I'll say it again here. I, like most human beings, we like to pretend that we understand. People who watch pro football, one of the things, the blind spot for most of us is we don't really know who a good offensive lineman is. We just go off of what people say, and at a time like this, free agency and, you know, the draft is nigh and everything. People are like, oh, I'd love to get that left tackle. Like, but based on what? Based on what you've heard? You couldn't assess him if I showed you video of him, really. That's the focus of what you're doing on Facebook Live and everything else.
Yes, I want to teach the world about offensive line play because that's really complicated. And look, with the advanced stats now with Pro Football Focus and all these people, offensive line play has really come into the forefront and people can have videos now. There's Vines, obviously, and you get the All 22. And I just see this stuff put out there. Like today, I saw someone tweet a stat about the types of runs that teams run, and it just was wrong, flat out wrong. And so I just feel like if you're going to put the information out there, it might as well be somewhat accurate. And this was remotely – so I feel like that's like my goal now is to teach people what offensive line play is about.
It's funny because I guess I don't want to call them out by name anyway, but I forget what the site is that does grade offensive linemen every play. But whenever I talk to offensive linemen – actual offensive linemen, they say those scores are wildly inaccurate.
They don't know what I was supposed to do on the play, so they have no idea whether I did it right or wrong.
So I think this is a very valuable service you're providing, legitimately.
Yes, I actually have talked to the people who run that website many times. We're in good speaking terms about how to help them grade offensive linemen, and it's just tough. They try to grade double teams. They try to grade all these things. But I will say this, though. Their grades typically the best – guys on their grades are typically the best players in the end. I mean, you're still going to grade out well if you're a good player, but sometimes they don't add up. And, you know, they do college guys too. I mean, the college game, scouting that game has got to be tough because the opponents they're playing are awful half the time.
Are you guys surprised? Well, let's bounce around. They're all things in free agency still happening. You know, what is it? Not quite a week into this thing. A lot of the big names have gone off the board. Tuesday morning, we learn Eddie Lacy to the Seahawks. How surprised are you? I'll start with you, Schwartz. How surprised are you that his name comes off the board more quickly than either Adrian Peterson's or Jamal Charles?
Well, his concern is not injury concern. That's number one concern for any team is injuries. His concern is being in shape, essentially. So, you know, I mean, a team can hire somebody to help with him. He can do that himself. He can just eat right and be in shape. But, you know,
yeah, but he gets hurt too, and maybe because of his
because
obesity.
Of his weight.
Yeah,
right. Obesity. Hold on a second, Dave. You shouldn't be throwing those
I'm
kind of stones.
I'm not in pro
ball.
I thought I just covered the fact I'm not in pro ball. I can look how I want to look.
What about that touchdown pass you threw to yourself?
That was in the rearview mirror. It was a grand moment, though. I'll tell you
that. Adrian and Jamal, just their performance as well has not been what it used to be. They're both Hall of Famers. I don't know if people know this. Jamal Charles is number one in yards per carry in NFL history.
It's one of my favorite stats out there. Yeah. 5.5 yards per carry over the course of his career.
And I don't think anyone realizes how good he is. So both Adrian and Jamal have just been hurt, and they're trying to find the right situation. And I think Jamal Charles has a visit into Seattle as well. It'd be odd if they signed both of them. But I'm not surprised that there's no market really for Adrian Peterson or Jamal. I think it's going to take time, and it might even go into August or training camp when someone gets hurt and they sign somewhere else.
But there isn't a chance that all 32 teams have zero interest in either one of these guys, right? It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think a lot depends on fit. Adrian Peterson has to be a team who's under center, runs the ball downhill. Jamal is more versatile. He can go out a shotgun, he can run zone, he can run power, he can run all these things. So, you know, a perfect fit for Adrian Peterson would be any team who has a fullback, which is not many teams.
Right.
So, you know, we'll have to see how the offseason plays out. If a team really needs him or someone gets hurt, he's a perfect fill-in.
And everything you hear is that this draft class is deep for running backs, so it'll probably wind up being post-draft when someone who thinks they're going to get a running back in the draft doesn't get one and realizes they've got to turn to one of those two guys who are going to be a lot more expensive than whichever rookie you bring in.
I want to hear from Schwartz on some of the O-line and D-line changes. This is a recurring point that we've made now. My observation is, it really, as lame as it sounds or as unexciting as it sounds, the teams that are great at the line of scrimmage are the ones that tend to get to Super Bowls. And so who has done the best work of improving themselves there and who's hurt themselves there? We'll get into that. Plus, we have to we have to update you on our best all-time franchise position group bracket. I want to say in advance, I understand brackets are lame, that they're hacky at this point. Everybody in March now does their brackets. And once I was doing it a decade ago.
Of course you were.
To let myself – that's right, handsome, I was.
I was agreeing with you. I wasn't – at that point wasn't being facetious.
I did a whole movie villain bracket once, right. And they fought each other, and I did the fight calls. Or I should say we brought in an old-time fight announcer, Mr. Sheldrake, to do the fight calls.
Right.
Like, look out, Vader. Vader's got Magneto now. You know, Johnny from Cobra Kai and so on. I did a whole tournament. Then every hack in the world had to jump in on it, doing best candy bar and best everything else. But I can't help it. We started talking about which position group is the strongest for one franchise in NFL history. Is it the Packers at quarterback with Starr, Favre, Rodgers et al.? Is it the Cowboys running backs? Is it the Steelers wide receivers? So on and so forth. We've put it to you, the Czech Republic, on Twitter. You can vote on it. It's an ongoing tournament. We'll update you on that in a little bit. And if we have time, I also want to do a little half empty, half full, the state of the Chiefs and perhaps even the Dolphins, if we have time to dig in on those as the show progresses. Meantime, really quickly, I want to say thanks to a couple citizens in the Czech Republic. First of all,
why would you do that?
Art Vandalay Morales dropped me a line, and he sent along. He said, put this on your hot dog. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. It is. He heard us talking about Whataburger. And he said, spicy ketchup. Their spicy ketchup is divine. And so I'll be the judge of that sooner rather than later. But
wait,
thanks.
Will you leave me some?
Yeah, you want to try it, handsome?
Yeah.
Just squeeze it right in your mouth right now.
I'll have a little bit on my finger.
Will you really? Yeah. No, just if you're going to do it the right way. Go straight into your
mouth. I'm not going straight to the mouth.
Cut out the middleman.
Dave, this is on – no.
I want to see you
do it. You're trying to embarrass me.
Yeah, that's right. If
I'm no dummy.
Tony, well, here, let me tell you something. You can embarrass yourself in front of Jeff Schwartz by drinking ketchup straight from the bottle.
I'm not drinking it out of the bottle. I'm going to put a little bit on my finger like that. Oh.
Ah! Instead, you got the ketchup on you all over you now.
That's
and?
Good.
Is it good?
It's good. It's not quite spicy enough.
All right.
I feel like I'm a connoisseur. I like to put ketchup together with Tabasco.
Did you break the lid already?
No, it was already broken. That's what I was saying.
Oh.
When you put it down, it just fell straight on its front.
Dang. Anyway.
Thank you very much for the cloth stick.
About 3 weeks ago, future Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez was walking by the makeup room. One, it's embarrassing that as a grown man I get makeup in my chosen profession. But I was all alone in there, Schwartz. And sometimes I get dewy under the armpits. You know, I get a little steamy. So I took out the hair dryer when nobody was around, and I was drying myself under my pits. And then Tony Gonzalez, future Hall of Famer, walks by the door, looks in, and says, "What the hell's going on in here?" And I said, I'm tidying myself up there, Tony Gonzalez. And that was that. Is that embarrassing, Schwartz?
No, your pants were still on.
No.
That'd be if anything to do with your pants off, that'd be embarrassing.
I see. Lower half nudity, then only then does it become embarrassing in front of future Hall of Famers. So we have much to talk about. I want to kibitz about this, though. Again, tackling the game of life. I went to not one, not two, but three kids' birthday parties this weekend.
Three
one of
in
which
one
was,
weekend.
The highlight being it is Jean-Claude Van Damme's 8th birthday. So happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday to him.
And we did laser tag. You ever do laser tag?
I love laser tag.
I'd never done it.
I haven't done it since I was 10, but boy, was it fun. It was a birthday party as well.
It was it was too much birthday partying for me. Three in one weekend was a little heavy on me. But Schwartz, what is from – first of all, I said to Jean-Claude Van Damme-Schek, I think that this starts the golden era of birthday parties for boys. 8 to 12, by my memory at least, that's the best you can do as a kid, right? Because you care most about the presents and you do some fun sporty activity. That's where
it's at. Bar mitzvah time. When you're 12 and 13, there's a lot going on then. But then you have to dance. It's a little awkward. But my son's 2.5, and he's got a birthday party almost every weekend now. We went to a trampoline birthday party, one of those trampoline parks this week. And
sure.
He had a blast. He's 2.5. The kids run around, fall down. Half of them start crying at some point. And then you eat pizza afterwards. It's basically my perfect day. Work out.
I like it as well. I find those trampoline places irresistible. I have to get on there, even though you're not supposed to get on with the kid. But I'll make an excuse. Like, I think that kid over there needs some help. And then I like to just have a little bounce on there.
You know what's weird about that? Well, first of all, so that was the first of the three parties I went to.
Right.
Another 8-year-old from Jean-Claude's class, his second grade class. His was a bounce party. So we went and we bounced around.
Did you bounce?
You know
did
what's
you
do weird? Yeah, I do. But you know what's weird about that is I mean, again, I just mentioned how I sweat sometimes. I was sweaty in like
hot.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
It was. Why is it such a workout? The floor is doing all the work for you. Why would I break
all
the sweat doing that?
All you're doing is using gravity.
I'm standing.
For what it's for.
The ground is the thing that's doing the work, right? No?
Yeah, I'm sweating right now. I sweat all the time. So it's not surprised at all that you have sweating issues. Were you outside too? That just increases it sevenfold.
No, it was nice and air conditioned and everything else. But no, I found myself working up a lather. It's humiliating. And I remember as a kid, we did like 2 or maybe 3 years in a row. We did the miniature golf.
Yes.
That was the big activity for me. You
That's
do some
still,
of that
Houston
there.
You do that as an adult as well. I've done adult excursions to mini golf. I'm the champion most of the time. So I like going. I'm very good at miniature golf.
I'm a champion
if I come
myself.
To LA, we'll go off the 101 in Sepulveda. You know where it's at. We'll play a little.
That's my home course. Just so you know, that's
out.
The Sepulveda 101 course is my. Which one, though? There are three courses you can play. You can play the blue track, the orange track, or the purple track.
I think the last time I played was blue.
All right. Listen, you know what? Dealer's choice there, Schwartz. I love it. Let's have a tourney. Handsome, do they have miniature golf in the UK?
Why wouldn't they have miniature golf?
No, it seems like you guys are always zigging when we're zagging.
No, that's
and it seems
golf.
Like, too, it's just an island. How much room is there for miniature golf courses all over
what?
The place?
Is that a real question? I mean, I don't know if you've heard, there's a lot of actual, like, not what's the opposite of miniature? What is the opposite of miniature?
I don't know. 18 holes.
No, but like, what is the opposite word to miniature?
Gigantic?
Maxiture.
Regular.
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry. Yes, there are a lot of normal golf courses.
Maxiture.
There's lots of maximized golf courses. You look that up while I tell you. There's not lots of normal golf courses. Why wouldn't there be miniature? Of course, there's space for miniature golf courses. You think the island's so small, in fact, the way your brain should work is there will be a lot of miniature golf courses and no normal stuff.
Oh, because it's mini.
Because it's mini.
How big is the UK?
In what?
Like, compared to an American state.
It's bigger than some American states and smaller than others.
Nah, don't be coy.
It's probably the same size as, I don't know, I'm going to make a fool of it.
Pennsylvania?
Every time I talk about the UK, about 1,000 people tweet at me and are like, how do you think it's possible that that is the case?
I know. You're a man without a nation at this point, because now you also think Abe Lincoln was our first president.
Well, who doesn't?
He should have been. That's what I maintain.
That much we
It's
agree.
About half the size of California. That's what I'm going to go with.
Is that true?
Yeah, about.
Did somebody feed you that in your headphones?
No. These guys never help me.
In what? In population or in land?
No, in land mass.
Really?
Yeah.
I said Pennsylvania.
If you drove from San Diego to San Francisco, or as far up California.
Well, there's a lot of soil north of San Francisco.
Like, all the way up there. How long does that take?
San Diego all the way up?
6 hours? Wait, 7 hours shorts?
California
to the top of California.
15 hours.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, it takes like 10 hours to drive the length of.
I also though imagine that the UK doesn't have, like, it's not completely paved with freeways either. I bet there are a lot of little side streets and everything.
Cobblestone,
right?
Yeah.
A lot of dirt roads. Sometimes you have to cobblestone. Sometimes you have to stop
sometimes
to let the sheep go by.
There'll be like a troll on a bridge, and they'll be like, "Oh, you can't come over here."
True or false? You've had journeys in the UK on the road stopped by sheep or otherwise.
I have actually had a journey stopped by a cow.
See, it's not the same over right. there. Hey, my favorite birthday party. That I went to when I was 9 years old, we went to a Pittsburgh Pirates ball game, Three River Stadium. And it seemed like there were more streakers back then than there are now. Although we've had a little resurgence of late, but I don't think they go full nude as much anymore. Anywho, I remember we had the old man trip the light fantastic for 9 year old Dave. And he got us second row seats right on the first base line. Pop Stargell, future Hall of Famer, manning first base there. There were two drunk guys sitting directly in front of us, and they were talking about, let's do it, let's do it. All right, let's do it. And then they both jumped the railing and ran out onto the field.
Naked.
And no, they weren't nude. I'm sorry, right. But they were drunk.
Right.
Maybe they were for Schwartz's sake, let's say they had nothing on underneath. All right. They were both Winnie. They both had on their Winnie the Pooh outfits, running around out on the field. They run out. They glad hand with Pop Stargell. Then they make for the outfield. Now they're running around the outfield. Now the local boys in blue are chasing them all over. They wrangle one guy with the greatest of ease. They tackle him. He's out. The other guy, though, proves more difficult. He's zigging and zagging all over the place. Left fielder Bill Robinson, who I believe passed away like 10 years ago. At the time, though, the Bill Robinson is out in left field. He waves the guy over, summons him over this way, as the cops are chasing him. And Bill Robinson gives the guy, the drunk guy, the hand ladder move,
the
hand step boost, and boosts him up over the outfield wall. I thought it was one of the greatest deeds
awesome.
Of all time.
And the guy just makes a clean getaway.
It made a great impact on 9 year old Dave. It's something I've never forget. Thumb your nose at Johnny
That's
Law
good.
Was the lesson.
Jeff, did you ever have any streakers at your games? Can you remember any memorable?
So one of my first memories of going to college football games, I went to UCLA games a ton as a kid, is I was six and there was a streaker. Like the last play of the game, a streaker ran across the field. That's really what I remember from the game.
Yeah.
Are you one of those guys who would like to have hit him?
Oh, yeah. I would do that.
Really? If you had a shot, like I remember James Harrison laid a guy out once.
I think I would do, like, I think it would be more funny if I tripped him. Like, as he ran by, I just, like.
Just a sly
yeah.
trip.
Yeah, just do the little foot out thing or wave him over and have one of your teammates go down on all fours and then you push him over the guy's
That'd
back.
Be way,
the classics, no, they never go out of style.
I think now it's a huge jail time and fine. No one should do it.
I did as a grown-up in my 20s. I used to negotiate with in the outfield at Wrigley Field. I used to talk to the ushers there and say, like, come on, if I go on the field, but will you let me go? Come on, it's the eighth inning. What are you? You won't let – he's like, well, once you're down there, then you're Chicago PD's problem, and they will take you to jail, and it's like a $2,000 fine and all that stuff.
You don't
like,
want to be part of that.
Not worth it. And I was like, come on, buzzkill. Just let me run around out of it. Those guys have the worst gig in the world, too. They have to stand. They go to 81 baseball games a year, but they're not allowed to look at the game.
It's funny, isn't it?
I went to
Yeah, imagine the torture. Like, you get the job, presumably, because you're a baseball fan. Like, oh, you know what's cool? Hey, guess what? Lifelong Cubs fan. Guess what my new job is? I'm now an usher at Wrigley Field. Can you believe it? Yeah, you're not allowed to watch 1 second of the game. You have to face the crowd the whole time. Like, this is the worst.
I'm at a basketball game last night, and I'm sitting right by one of the ushers who has his back, I mean, to the court, and is looking at us the whole game. Like, he's still clapping. Like, he would clap when a big play happened. I don't know how he saw the play happen.
Hmm.
That is weird.
Yeah. Was he wearing an earpiece?
I don't think so. I think he just reacted to the crowd. If the crowd cheered, he cheered.
He cheered.
It was a little awkward.
Handsome, do you have a childhood birthday party?
My birthday's in January, and like a few times at exactly the right age you're talking about, somewhere between 8 and 12, it snowed a lot. And so we had a sledging party. Me and my friends went and, you know, there was a hill outside my house, and you spend the entire day just like marching up and down that hill and sledging down and doing dangerous tricks and all that stuff. So that was probably those were my favorite
ones. Don't have too much fun, though.
That is great. Yeah, kids love, you know, we talked about that, and I just put a poll question out. Let me give you guys the results, but I'll ask Schwartz if you voted on this one. I put it up earlier on Tuesday. Best day, Schwartz, in life. Is it a snow day? Well, you never had one. You're from Southern California as a kid. A college football tailgate? You never had one. You were playing in the game. Wrigley on a sunny Saturday? You probably never have been that far north in summertime.
I heard I need to have two seats at Wrigley, so I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, the bleachers you might, or last day of school. That's the only one you can vote for. Either way, it's a blowout.
Last day of school.
Last day of school.
The greatest feeling.
That's
ever.
What you went with.
I mean, it is. Like, it really greatest is. Feeling of non-importance. Like, you know, kids obviously, but greatest non-important day of your life. Last day of school every year.
It really is hard to beat. The one thing I'll say
about the one that's good as well is the day before the last day, where the teachers have given up and they're like, just bring in a board game and just play. That's always fun because you can get away with stuff then.
Well, it's also kind of like, as I often say too, the reason I love Thanksgiving so much is because it's the start. There's the promise of an entire season of holidays and half days and boozy parties and gifts and all that kind of stuff. But the best day of the entire thing is the night before Thanksgiving, because it hasn't even started yet. That's when you really let your
hair down. The anticipation.
We only have to get through 8 more hours of toil for the man. Then the time belongs to us through the new year, basically. That Thursday night is the best.
In your world, the day before Thanksgiving to New Year, that's just a vacation.
Well, yeah, I used to, as a child, I used to call it checker season.
Right.
Like, this is it. This is nothing of import
let
happens.
The head down from
and
here
people
on.
Would say in college, like, well, you have to do your finals. And I'd be like, you have to do your finals.
Not me.
I mean, I'll go for the 40 minutes or so it takes to check the A, B, C, or D, but it's not like I'm going to do any work in advance of it. You know, what happens.
Last year was my first Thanksgiving I had in 12 years. I didn't have work. Yeah. Because in college, you know,
did you make amends?
No, I mean, I still ate really well on Thanksgiving the last 12 years.
Right.
But this year, I got to like spend the whole day at home, watch the early football game, you know, take my time cooking. And it was a lot of fun.
You know, we should ask Schwartz. He is an expert and part of the ongoing off-season gang known as the food block here on the Dave Damashek football program. We tackled this one a week or two ago. What holiday, Schwartz, has the best desserts?
Thanksgiving.
You got the pies. That's what I went with all.
You have a variety of pies. But it's a variety of pies. Like, what do you have? I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't know what do you eat on Christmas?
Oh, they're all manner of cookies.
Cookies.
And pies.
And then there's a Christmas. Do you guys have Christmas pudding? No, you wouldn't, because I just said the word
pudding. Figgy pudding!
Yeah, figgy pudding, exactly. Wait, what's happening?
What? We have
it's
a pie.
Pie day.
Emma VP brought us
a pie. Wait, Emma,
Schwartz.
You do understand this pie day, it's like a mathematical pie day.
Close enough. Buzzkill.
Really? Oh, I'm so disappointed I don't have a pie writer.
It's a pun.
Jeff Schwartz, hey, why don't you make you see if you've moved to L.A.? This is what's happening.
That Shecky Award, you can't send me a pie?
True enough. But where, by the way, where is the Shecky Award? I thought it was going to be hanging prominently on your wall there.
It's in the other office.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see. It's out on the fireplace mantle, I'm assuming, right? Also, real quick, I started to say thanks to some citizens of the Czech Republic. A big shout to Sir Gumbo. Please eat the pumpkin pie and taunt Jeff Schwartz with each bite. Our pal Sir Gumbo, a.k.a. Cody, has been sending along some grand Photoshops, including one of Jay Cutler in the James Dean photo, the iconic one of him walking in dreary Manhattan. It's Broadway J. Check that out at Damashek. You'll be very amused by it. Great work by Sir Gumbo there. All right, let's talk about some other stuff now. Oh, Handsome, I wrote it down because you mentioned it. Emma VP is going to get angry that we're not digging into the show here. But mechanical pencils.
Yeah,
Jeff Schwartz. Is this an advancement of technology or an unnecessary hindrance?
I'm kind of indifferent. I think it's an advancement of technology, less pencils. But I do like the feel of a real pencil, though.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. And what's diabolical about the mechanical pencil is that
less effective than a normal pencil.
Right. Well, I literally have never written more than four letters before the lead breaks off.
You press too hard. I feel like you're a hard presser with a pencil, generally, though.
That's right. That's right.
You're proud of that. I think at the time, whoever invented the mechanical pencil was pretty proud of what they did, and they really went all out on selling the mechanical pencil to people. And then it became clear pretty quickly that the old pencil is still.
But you keep a sharpener with you, like under your desk. Like where does what have you run out of lead?
I don't normally use a pencil very much, but Emma kindly offered me a writing implement, and I went for the pencil because
Do kids? I wonder. I haven't noticed my kids using pencils. Do they use them? Is that a thing anymore in school? Pencils?
My kid's 2.5. No idea.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I remember of my grade school days were not the electric.
No, the old one. And then you would try and find a reason to break your pencil lead because it was so much more fun than listening and learning, basically, was just sharpening the pencil.
We may have peaked we went one step too far with the mechanical pencil, maybe just the standard, because before that, the plume – that you constantly have to be dipping in the inkwell. Yeah, that was your people doing that business.
My people.
That's right. And John Hancock's people were doing that one. That must have been a real pain in the butt.
Right.
Like, how many letters could you make?
And you'd have
to
remember two things. You'd be like, I got my feather, but I don't have any ink. Or I brought the ink, but I forgot the feather.
Do you suppose, Schwartz, that like if you... you're from the 18th century. Do you think you just carried a plume everywhere you go?
I was about that. So did they
don't forget your plume.
Do they sell nice Redding feathers at the stores, or do you have to go pluck your own?
I
don't know.
Exactly. Don't forget to get the lamb's the lamb's cloth so we can do our taxes tonight, hon. You know, like that kind of thing.
It would be a lot. Everything would be a lot more. Like, have you? You know, right now these days you have to remember your phone and your wallet, and if you've done that, you can leave the house and you can get by. But back then, just imagine all the things you got to check your pocket.
I've said it before.
Have you got your neckerchief?
I like in theory that we're always in touch, and like no matter what happens, you could always call. Like, hey, my car's in a ditch. Can you come pick me up? I know it's 3 a.m. or whatever. But for the I don't like the idea of always being available.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I mean, I've made it so that I'm not.
Right.
But
you're not very available.
And now there are a lot of now there's a disproportionate number of people in my life who are always cross with me because of it. Like. Why I called your cell phone? Like, I said, what? I'm not on your beck and call. Just because I have it, I'm not waiting around for calls all the time. I have a life. You know,
I agree. I it's okay to turn your cell phone off at night.
Yeah.
At least. I bought an actual real clock to put it next to my bed so I don't have to look at my phone.
I like that. Yeah, me too. I got one for Christmas. Santa brought me.
Oh, congrats.
All right. What do you want to talk? Emma VP. Emma VP.
What should we talk about next?
Let's talk about
Emma Buzzkill behind the glass. What do you want
me.
Us to talk?
That's not my name. It's
not your name.
Like that.
No, you're right.
How about some half empty, half full Lions.
Why do you want us to do that? We were going to solve mysteries. We were going to talk about –
You asked me.
Oh, you're right. That's what you want us to kibitz about?
Yeah.
Okay.
One, before we jump into the Kansas City Chiefs and Mitchell Schwartz, and we remember where their season ended. It was in Arrowhead at the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do want to yap about that. Before we do that, though, I've noticed you, Schwartz, in your social media space, buzzing a fair amount about the teams in the NFC North. You're intrigued by TJ Lang. The Bears are really solid in the middle. I think – I know that this goes against what the vast majority of football minds are saying right now. Everybody's making their jokes about Mike Glennon for $15 million. And every year there is a personification of how much money. There's too much money in pro football if blank can make blank, you know. But to me, Mike Glennon, $15 million in this day and age – I think that's fine, and I happen to think he's going to be just fine with a good running game and a great O-line in front of him and a defense that's coming together. That all amounts to this. Write it down now, fellas, in plume or in mechanical pencil or otherwise. The Chicago Bears are going to have a winning record this year. How say you, Schwartz?
That'd be a big jump for them. I think they have a chance.
Yes.
I'm not so down on Mike Glennon as everyone else is. I'm with you. $15 million for a one-year contract, right? Brock Osweiler was getting $16 million. Like, that's the base minimum for a starter in the NFL who's not on a rookie contract. I'm totally fine with that. If he ends up playing really well, then they have their quarterback of the future. If he doesn't, they'll get another quarterback in the draft next year. Maybe they get Sam Darnold in the draft from USC, and then they have all these other pieces around them. They improved their defense. They brought in corners. They have pass rushers now with Floyd and Parnell. So they have all these guys there, good offensive line. I think you're right. Now, winning, you know, being 9-7, what were they last year? Two wins? That'd be a big jump.
Is that what? Was that bad? Yeah, was that grim? It was three?
That's a long way to go.
That's a big improvement in 1 year for a team who doesn't have a proven quarterback. And with the Lions improving, I believe, the Packers got a little worse. And
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. I feel like the Packers have taken a mild step backwards. They've lost the offensive line.
They
added secondary added a guys. Tight end that can really make a difference.
Well, that's definitely
another weapon for Aaron Rodgers. I get it. They've taken a little step back, but I think you still put that Packers team with Aaron Rodgers leading it.
The Vikings had that great start to the year and were improbably undefeated, and people were talking, well, they're definitely going to the playoffs, and then they fell apart because of injuries. And I also like the Lions, Schwartz. I think the Lions it's again back to what I said, unsexy though it may be. I think I like Theo Riddick. I think they have some potential decent runners back there. But what if they go get like Leonard Fournette or something like that in the first round?
I think they have to go pass rusher. They need more pass. There were 26 sacks last year, which is tied for 30th in the league. I saw that today. I didn't just make that up for this
no,
podcast.
No, never give credit anywhere else. Just say like, no, you know what? I was thinking about it, and they were 26. I ran the numbers on it, and
they need to get better at that. But they're the only team, I think, in the history that I remember that lost two offensive linemen to monster deals, Riley Reiff and Larry Warford, and then signed two guys who are better than those two. I've never seen that happen before. So they improved on the offensive line. They'll get – if they can stay healthy at running back, which they weren't last year, they get a couple pass rushers, they get a linebacker, they sign some low-key kind of positional pieces on defense so far this offseason. Bob Quinn has done a great job in his first 2 years in Detroit. I like them a lot.
It is you can play this game with, I guess, most NFL divisions right around now. But I really do. The NFC North, I'm fascinated by how that's going to shake out, because any of those teams, I know maybe it's a little reach to say the Bears can contend for the division title, but I think they're going to be vastly improved at minimum. And if they do, as everyone is speculating, draft another defensive piece, which was very quietly what John Fox did in the second half of the season, that defense was playing really well. If they add another high-end piece there, they're not jive either. And the Packers could just I wouldn't be stunned if they flat out missed the playoffs and got jumped by the Vikings and the Lions.
Well,
but
they'd
anyway,
be playing with
fire. They could easily miss the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah. Now let's jump to something we've been doing, Jeff Schwartz, here in the offseason. We're going to do it 32 times over. Now it's time for your brother Mitchell Schwartz's team, the Kansas City Chiefs. As we sit here in March of 2017, We saw what they did. They won the division title. Maybe they backdoored their way in there when Derek Carr went down. But either way, they were a legitimate threat. So people thought by the end of December, people thought this is the team best built to challenge the Patriots up in Foxborough. That was a lot of the buzz, if you'll recall. Mm-hmm. They went out kind of mildly against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home on a cold night there. Right now, how do we feel about the Kansas City Chiefs? You're a fan of theirs. Is your glass half empty or is it half full?
I think it's half full. They have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. They lost on Terry Poe, added Benny Logan, D-tackle from the Eagles, who's really good. He's going to fit great in that scheme. They need to probably find a middle linebacker to help DJ along if his injury doesn't recover from that. But I think they're only going to be better. They're an interesting team at quarterback because this is probably Alex Smith's last year to show if he can really lead them past that wild card round or divisional round, I should say. I mean, when you talk about the Steelers game, for the Steelers not to score an offensive touchdown, the Chiefs score two and don't win the game, that doesn't look good. And I know they're not going to trade for Tony Romo, but if Tony Romo was there, that would be –
What did you make of that buzz that Tony Romo, I don't know if there was any truth to those rumors. That anybody from the Chiefs kicked the tires on
Romo? I'm sure John Dorsey called around. All these guys talk, but you'd have to give up a lot probably to get Tony Romo. And maybe they want to mortgage the future to do that. Maybe if they feel that their team is that good now. But what do they do with Alex Smith's contract? I don't know if he has any guaranteed money left, though. And plus, that's if Romo wants to go there. I think for me, if I was Romo, I would try to hold out until they release me and then go to Texans.
I'm waiting for that Texans thing to happen already.
Right.
It's enough already, Houston. Stop playing games. We know where it's all winding up. Everyone,
but they're not playing games. He's
not going to the Broncos. No, this jive about the Broncos needs to end already. And I'm going to say it again until John Elway answers my questions about this. What is going on with Paxton Lynch? In the 21st century, when you're a first-round draft pick and you're a QB, you're expected to play. Right. And now he's going into year two, and no one ever says, nothing works out. Maybe Simeon moves on. Maybe we deal him. Romo doesn't happen. We're all set with Paxton Lynch. You don't hear any of that talk. There must be something they've done a nice job in Denver of just never uttering his name so no one ever talks about what's going on there.
But you know what's weird is that all of last season – people were praising Jerry Jones for discovering Dak Prescott. But if you remember, after day one of the draft, Jerry Jones the next morning was bemoaning the fact that he didn't, he should have probably been even more brave and offered more to get hold of Paxton Lynch. Dak Prescott basically fell into his lap, and he was incredibly lucky happened.
I said, let's not get crazy praising the Cowboys on that one.
Right, because it was like they exhausted everything else before they actually – even when he was on the team, they were trying to get Kellen Moore to start.
You know what? You know who else doesn't deserve that much praise? Bill Belichick for the Tom Brady draft pick. If you thought he was that good, you wouldn't have waited till the sixth round to grab him.
Right.
But either way, yes, same logic applies there. Schwartz, I've been a defender of Alex Smith. I've never considered him I never put him on par with the top five QBs in the league, but I think he's an above average. I think he's in the top 12 to 15 QBs. Mm-hmm. And 21st century history has proven that you at least have a chance of getting to the big game if your QB falls into that range. You can't have the 25th best QB, but you can get there. The history suggests that you're better off to have Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Ben Roethlisberger. Right. But if you have Joe Flacco or Matt Ryan, you can sneak through there and get to the big game. Russell Wilson is obviously in that top tier of QBs, but Alex Smith has come close to getting there. But I'll tell you, man, he missed two throws in the second half, and this is a specific thing to cite, but when the game was nip and tuck there, they had the ball, did the Chiefs at around the Steelers 40-45. Two plays in a row, they saw rookie Artie Burns singling up on one of their burners on the outside. I think first it was Tyreek Hill, and the next time it was Jeremy Maclin. Either way, they tried two deep shots in a row. Alex Smith didn't come close to getting didn't give his receiver a chance on either ball. I would feel like I'd be pretty dispirited if I were Andy Reid the rest of the game.
He missed,
this guy just can't make the big throw.
There were other throws he missed. And that's the thing with Alex is that – you know, about two throws a game, you're like, eh, I kind of want those back. And I think that's why you can't put him above in that elite category. And look, when Alex Smith was with the Niners, he got them to the NFC Championship game, so he can do it. He just has to have the complementary parts around him. If your defense is going to fail in a game, I'm not sure that he can, you know, lead your team in New England to beat the Patriots. However, I played a playoff game with him in 2013 where he threw for 400 yards in Indianapolis. We scored 44 points. We lost the game, but that's not his fault. So he's proven he can put up points, but I think that, you know, I don't know. To me, he keeps winning games. He gets the Chiefs to the playoffs. And then in the playoffs, you have to have a little luck. And if things really, for whatever reason, just haven't gone their way. You know, if they don't call that holding call against Fisher, maybe the game changes.
Oh, don't start with that jive, Schwartz. That was a hold. What do you want? It was a hold. They shouldn't have called it? They shouldn't have called that. He tackled James Harrison. That shouldn't have
James
been called?
Harrison said after the play, that never gets called.
James Harrison said that.
You'll read the quotes. That type of block rarely gets called. By the time James Harrison fell, he was 5 yards away from Alex Smith. Alex had thrown the ball. It's just not a good call. In that situation, I can't call that.
Well, they did call it. Thank goodness.
I know.
You got spared the humiliation that the Steelers suffered through the following week there. All right, Schwartz is gonna run here. You got to go do this, that, and the other. You're going to go do
dad
father stuff.
Yes.
Oh. Hey, look, the missus just walked in the door.
Hurry up.
I wish one of your little ones came through
like
on
that
the
video
thing. Oh. We should reenact that. We got to have one of your boys walking around in the background and have the missus crawl through to pull them out of the way there. I saw on your social media, it's creepy how much we know about each other because of social media. I know Jeff Schwartz was just on vacation because you weren't shy about tweeting out the pics of you and the missus in some tropical locale.
I think people wanted to see me in my bikini, in my shorts. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I wanted.
No doubt.
All right. Hey, Jeff Schwartz, what a treat as always. Let's kibitz sooner rather than later and do a food block. Think of a good subject that we have to tackle.
All right, let's do it.
In the meantime, like I say already, check out his pages. They really are great and insightful stuff. SB Nation, not just a bunch of empty platitudes and such that you'll sometimes see. This is he's breaking down O-line play. It'll impress your friends that you actually will know something about a professional offensive lineman and what makes him good or bad compared to his peers.
All right,
Schwartz, go get him, fella. There he goes.
See ya.
Jeff Schwartz, turn him off behind us. I won't look at him for another second. But handsome, what else do we – oh, yes, we were going to talk about
– there's one line on here that says solving life's mysteries. Let's try and do that. Are we allowed to do that? Will Emma let us?
Sure. Emma VP, can we take a minute to should we solve today?
Right.
Why don't you do your bit that you did on –
did you – well, I kind of was talking about the fact that because I saw somebody as we were kibitzing yesterday, Emma VP and I – somebody said something about like, oh, that's a pipe dream and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, who are all these people dreaming about pipes all the time? Where did that one come
from?
That one to be solved.
I can explain that one to you. I'm right here to do it. Back in the day, people in China, but then also back in other countries in Europe would smoke opium pipes. Mm. And they would have strange dreams because of those. And so the phrase a pipe dream is actually because of opium pipes.
Whoa, handsome.
I am here to solve life's mysteries, and if that's the one you're going to throw at me, I actually have the solution.
But pipe dream also suggests something that you would want to have happen.
I think I think that's it. It's like, you know, your imagination would be able to run more wild if you were smoking.
Sort of like the Clive Owen show, the Nick. He hits that opium pipe.
Does he?
Then goes out for like 36 hours.
Have you watched Taboo?
No, I've not seen Taboo.
Taboo. You really must, because it's very strange. And I feel like it might be similar to the Nick. It might be sort of based off of the same thing. It's like a real gritty London.
I gotta check it out. I want to see that. I've been watching Legion. That's really good too.
Any other mysteries I can solve for you?
Well, no. Handled that one ably. Before we wrap up, though, our position group bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, this is something else I wanted to talk about. Can we show a photo here to Handsome? Well, Actually, I'll tweet this photo out for you, the listener, to see what we're talking about here. Here at NFL Media in Culver City, California, the West Coast Nerve Center for the National Football League, they just saw fit over the weekend, I guess, to hang gigantic, like, what's it called?
Decor. What do you guys call it?
Decor. What do you call it?
Decor.
Decor. Oh, that's a new one for handsome.
But that's like it's decor? it derives from the word decoration.
Right.
How do you say decoration?
I don't. Well,
say decoration.
What are those things called? What's the company that the fat Stanleys? What's it called? The
fatheads.
Yes, they're like grand fatheads.
Yeah,
basically.
They're a lot more grand than a fathead would be. But I'm.
But that what I'm saying, they're sticky things.
Yeah.
They're things that are stuck.
I don't know. Carry on.
Well, they're these two-dimensional things that are stuck or painted or whatever all over NFL
giant size
campus. Yeah.
Giant size.
Giant ones.
Wait, fat heads are big, but these are really big.
There's one that's three stories big of Dan Helley, the face of NFL Network.
Right.
Just this giant one, which is disconcerting to walk by.
Well, it was interesting that his was the face that was chosen.
I thought. I agree. And I also think that
he's a very good-looking man, though.
He's very handsome. And I also think that it gives him job security. I don't know if that's if he's thought about that. But he can't be worried about his job anytime. You're not going to fire me,
right,
Goodell.
Yeah, look at my picture.
Look, what are you going to do about this?
Do you think Dan Helley's the kind of guy who's going to go push it now? Like, he may turn up to work tomorrow, a couple of sheets closer to the wind.
I hope so.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
I hope so.
Disheveled. But maybe he's not as handsome as he normally is.
There was also, from your mouth to God's ears, I'd love it. If he starts to let it go.
Get loose. He's not shaving. Maybe he's eating a little more than he used to.
Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass snapped a photo of some prominent NFL football players.
Right.
That are also now on the wall. Like, again, two, three stories tall, each one. There's a giant Von Miller.
There's a huge Von Miller.
Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, Josh Norman. Do you guys know who else there was? MVP?
Cam Newton's there.
Cam Newton and Gronk. Okay, right. So that's the
say
the six
again.
Guys.
I'm sorry, I wasn't really listening.
There's Gronk.
Von Miller.
Cam, J.J., Von Josh Norman.
Really? I didn't see Josh Norman.
And Aaron Rodgers.
There's also a Joey Bosa halfway down the passageway with nothing else. It's like a big blue wall about 50 yards long, but only Joey Bosa on that. It seems strange.
That's waiting inside.
For more people.
The one on the outside, that the general public can see are these guys. Who's the first one that comes down? Because he's been traded or retired.
Gronk.
I agree with that. I think Gronk 2017 is a big season for him health-wise. Yep. I agree with you. Josh Norman, Aaron Rodgers, Cam, J.J. Watt, Von Miller. Who is up there the longest? This is a risky game. That's the point. Eddie Spaghetti and I were talking about it. I said, you know, this is really a bold move because, you know, if you swing and miss on one, if a guy gets, you know, if he moves on in free agency or whatever – like that, wow, now we got to take him down. We can't just leave him up there in that uniform.
I think Rodgers is the longest one because I think he transitions into legend status.
So they just leave him. I was thinking Cam Newton. I think he finishes J.J. Any of those guys not finish with their current team. Gronk, Cam, J.J., Vaughn.
Gronk definitely doesn't finish with the Patriots.
Ooh, okay. I think Josh Norman doesn't finish with the Skins.
Yeah, that's probably.
Aaron Rodgers is a Packer for life.
Yep.
Von Miller is not a Bronco.
Yeah, he'll be one of those guys who will spend his last two years with the name the team that's not
Cam Bronco. Newton, Panther for life.
Panther for life.
You think so?
Yep.
Okay. J.J. Watt.
Yes.
I say no.
Really?
Yeah. I somehow.
What happens?
Hello. He wants to play a little bit more, and they're like, you know what? We've really replenished J.J., and we had
but
that,
he still sells tickets.
We had that great 2017 season that finished up in the Twin Cities against the Patriots with Romo as our quarterback, and that was special.
They played the Patriots in the Super Bowl, both being from the AFC. There was probably a rule change that got them there.
You don't have to embarrass me.
Someone else would have done.
I don't think I've.
It's better that I call you out than your fans.
in the AFC title game. We went all the way to Foxborough.
Right, that's better.
Romo and you both wore your Letterman's jackets. Right. It didn't work
out. All
went
wrong.
Right, right. Hey, before we wrap it up, we're doing our brackets, like I say. And where are we on this MVP? Oh, we have a song?
About brackets.
Oh, let me hear
really?
It. There's a song about the DVP.
That seems unnecessary. But
best all-time franchise position group song. Take it away.
That sounds like an interesting song.
Oh, it's one shining moment.
The games are picked, and Dave is here. You're sitting in your car. You're a fandom since to you in all 5 years. We all know you listen on the job. So turn this down low. One stupid jingle, it's Dave's time to one stupid jingle, nothing on the line.
There really isn't anything on
the line. There's nothing on the line.
Choice, so now we're stuck.
All right, we enough. We'll listen to it in full later on. I like it very much. The one-man house band, Dick Bang. Did you write that? Did you write the lyrics there, MVP? You've outdone yourself once again.
Thanks.
One stupid jingle. So where are we? We're through the first round here.
We're halfway.
Halfway already. Yes. Boy,
how do we know who's won?
I can tell you.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
You tell us, Emma.
Sure. So
we have fancy. You have a
gate. I got it. Yeah, I got given this.
With
but it doesn't help me in any way.
Yes. At Damashek on Twitter is how you can follow along.
Yes, Dave/me have been tweeting the polls out, and the fans have
How about that, handsome? I gave her my password to my Twitter account so she can post these polls.
That is that's a level of trust when I was head writer. I was never afforded.
Right.
I would
Emma.
Never, I would never allow it.
Yeah.
I would never allow that to happen. All right, go ahead, MVP.
I missed that job.
Green Bay quarterbacks versus Steelers centers. Packers win that one.
Yeah, easily.
Yep.
Easy money.
Yeah. Seahawks safeties versus the Patriots corners.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, Patriots corners actually won that one.
The Robinson in there, that's Michael Robinson. No.
Eugene Robinson.
Eugene. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Eugene Robinson. So the Patriots corners won it.
Yes, they're a 5 seed versus
1 year Darrell Revis. They had Mike Haynes, who was a legitimate great.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Law should be a Hall of Famer. Malcolm Butler, and now Malcolm Butler may be moving on to New Orleans. But anyway, continue.
Sure. So 3 seed Cowboys quarterbacks versus the 6 seed Rams running backs. Cowboys win that one.
That's fair.
That's
enough.
A shame.
I could have been
the
an
Rams
upset.
Runners go so early.
I think you missed Charles White. Remember, he had a few good years for the Rams.
I remember that. Yeah, played in the Coliseum as a collegian as
well. Yeah, exactly.
So next one is actually a real toss-up. 50-50 on Twitter. 2 seed Buffalo running backs versus the 7 seed Chiefs outside linebackers.
There were some people buzzing about this one. Bills wonks trying to get their fellow Buffalo fans to get in there and vote. It finished at 50.
50-50.
So what do we do?
You got to choose.
Sudden death.
This is your thing.
This is my thing to have to choose. All right, I'm going to go with the Bills because I saw more support. Sorry there, Bartlett. Why, you should have tried to rally the Chiefs faithful on that one. That's on you. Yeah, live with that in shame. Next up.
A 1 seed Cowboys running backs versus an 8 seed Panthers middle linebackers.
But, I mean, the Panthers middle linebackers are all on the team at the same time.
I didn't make the rules, handsome.
No, right.
Yeah, and the Cowboys had to have won, right?
They
did
win,
yes.
Okay, good.
Next up, 4 seed Colts wide receivers versus a 5 seed Giants quarterback.
Has to be the Colts.
It is the Colts.
Good, because that was a fraudulent group.
Yep.
Eli Manning, come on. Why 18?
Wait, you've maintained that Eli Manning is,
going to the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Famer.
I know, but if you compare it to the other groups, for instance, the Packers offer Rodgers, Favre, Starr. Eli Manning is the best Giants QB, and he's not as good as any of those three guys.
Well, they can only play the team you put in front of them.
That's fair.
In the pretend game.
Well, now
it doesn't
gone.
Matter for anything.
Now they're gone to the Colts wide receivers. Ray Barry, T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne, and Marvin Harrison. Continue, MOV.
Sure. 3 seed Bears running backs versus the 6 seed Chargers wide receivers.
Sweetness had to carry.
Sweetness carried
there,
that. Right?
Guess that right?
Good.
Last, we have 2 seed 49ers quarterbacks versus 7 seed Vikings defensive ends.
Well,
so I mean, the easier way is that all but one of the favored teams won.
Yes.
Well, good. I like things go in chalk. That's my way. The Czech Republic understands the import of favorites winning more often than not. Otherwise, if underdogs always win, then what's
then
an upset?
Who cares?
I will say the Vikings, the thing that intrigued me about the Vikings was as I went through all the rosters on all the NFL teams to try and suss out who should be in this tournament in this field of 32, it's their defensive ends and their defensive tackles separately that both deserved the attention there. And so the Vikings lose out, though, to – I mean, listen, you have Joe Montana, Steve Young, and Y.A. Tittle, and John Brody. So that makes sense. And we don't even have Cap or Alex Smith. Cap obviously got him to a Super Bowl. So, all right.
Well, maybe their defensive tackles will fare better.
We'll see. We'll see. Only time will tell. This is an exciting tournament.
This is exciting. How long is this going for?
Until March.
Until it ends.
Till it ends.
Play the song. Play the song as we say our goodbye.
Okay.
Play it again. All right. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce for you later in the week. In the meantime, for Jeff Schwartz. Really stupid. Handsome Hank, a pleasure to see you back. Bartlett, MVP. The professor, everybody's back there. The gang's back together. All right. We'll kibitz with you later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. One stupid jingle, it's been a thin slice of heaven. One stupid